Senator Bernie Sanders is staying in the race. He made the announcement today after another disappointing performance in yesterday's primaries, and he said he'd be at Sunday night's debate against Joe Biden in Arizona.
Donald Trump must be defeated, and I will do everything in my power to make that happen. On Sunday night, in the first one-on-one debate of this campaign, the American people will have the opportunity to see which candidate is best positioned to accomplish that goal.
Joe Biden won at least four states yesterday, including the big prize of Michigan, which Bernie Sanders won 4 years ago. Biden won last night by more than 15 points. Speaking to his supporters in Philadelphia, Biden sounded very much like the presumptive Democratic Party nominee.
And I want to thank Bernie Sanders and his supporters for their tireless energy and their passion. We share a common goal, and together we'll defeat Donald Trump. We'll defeat him together.
Let's bring in our political strategist, Jamal Simmons, a Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And Matt Mikowiak, a Republican. Hi, Matt.
Hey there.
And I just want to start by saying that it was 11 days ago Joe Biden had not won a single primary or caucus in his entire life. And now here we are, very different situation. Jamal, what did you make of what Bernie Sanders said today?
Well, first of all, America is an amazing place.
Yeah, right. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. That's why they play the game on Tuesdays. So I think what's happening with Bernie Sanders is, first of all, he is right in this respect. He has set the pace for the Democratic Party in terms of policy. And I think Democrats need to be thankful to him for that, whether it's Medicare for all or free college tuition or even some of the Green New Deal stuff that AOC promotes. Even though Democrats won't do those things the way he wants to do it, everybody's either Bernie dark blue or Bernie light blue, but some version of that is on the table. So Democrats owe Bernie Sanders a debt of gratitude for that. The problem for Sanders has always been they couldn't decide how much they were fighting Donald Trump and how much they were fighting 30 or 25 or 30% of the Democratic Party, which they like to call the establishment, which I think is really just regular everyday Democrats who tend to put, you know, they put Nancy Pelosi in the Speaker's chair twice and Bill Clinton in the White House twice and Barack Obama twice. Those are the people that it seemed like Bernie Sanders was running against. And you can't run against both the Republicans and some part of the Democratic Party.
You know, there are many Democrats who are probably upset about Bernie Sanders saying today that he's going to stay in the race. One of them is probably South Carolina Congressman James Clyburn, who's supporting Biden and spoke to NPR about it last night. Listen.
I think it is time for us to shut this primary down. It's time for us to cancel the rest of these debates because you don't do anything but get yourself in trouble if you continue this contest when it's obvious that the numbers will not shake out for you.
I'm going to put this to you, Matt. As somebody watching as a Republican, do you think Bernie staying in the race hurts Biden in the general election?
Well, it prevents the Democratic Party from fully unifying behind Biden, and it really does that more with the progressives. I mean, the establishment of the party, the elected officials all across the country have started to unify behind him, believing he's a stronger nominee and believing that he's going to be the nominee. You know, if you look at the math coming out of last night, going into last night, I think Biden needed something like 54% of the delegates to clinch a majority on the first ballot. After last night, he now needs 50.6%, and Bernie needs 56% of the delegates to get to a majority. So I do think mathematically it's still in a range where if something were to happen, it could perhaps go in either direction, or you could have no majority on the first ballot. But I think this thing may be over very quickly when Ohio and Florida and Illinois and other states likely go for Biden. It's hard to see how Bernie changes this race without just some shocking development in the debate on Sunday night. But look, Biden hasn't had a one-to-one debate in a while. And Bernie, in the press conference he just finished, made clear he is going to try to hold Biden accountable on policy ideas. And so, yes, to the extent that the Democratic Party and the progressive left do not unify behind Biden and that gets delayed, it does give Trump and the Republicans a chance to continue basically running a general election campaign with a head start.
Matt, after
you know, it's helpful to think about it this way. Bernie Sanders is riding a tiger, right? This tiger of progressive activism, and they go after people hard online. They go after people on these shows. And I think the question is, can he, if he doesn't end this campaign in the right way, that tiger might turn around and bite Bernie too. He's got to find a way to end this campaign that his people feel somewhat justified and okay, so that then he can turn that attention towards something more productive.
Matt, can you take a little deeper look at what happened in Michigan last night? Joe Biden did very well, much better than Hillary Clinton did in Michigan in 2016. Any concern that Trump doesn't stack up as well against Biden in Michigan, a key state in the general election?
I don't think that primary vote performance is much of a predictor for a general election. You don't have general election voters paying attention yet. You haven't had the campaign start in the general election yet, where the candidates are going after each other, putting their plans out there, drawing contrasts, performing, being covered by media, being vetted. So I don't know that it really means that much. One of the things I think that did become clear last night is just how much Bernie's strength last time, 4 years ago, was as much an anti-Hillary vote as it was a pro-Bernie vote. And that is simply not the case now, right? There just isn't the level of negativity and animosity towards Biden as a candidate and certainly as a person, even within the Democratic primary electorate, but to say nothing of the broader electorate. So, sure, look, this election, I think you can boil it down to Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania in the fall. If Trump wins two of those three, he's going to get reelected. The Democrats are going to try to expand the map with Arizona and Georgia, and the Republicans are going to try to expand the map with New Hampshire and maybe the one delegate in Maine and maybe Minnesota. But everyone tries to expand the map. Generally, I think this is going to be the smallest battleground state map in a generation. It's going to come down to the Midwest and to the white working class voter that Trump narrowly was able to win in those states in 2016. We'll see whether they ultimately want to pull the lever for Biden or whether they want to stick with Trump based on the rising wages that they've been seeing over the last few years.
Jamal, what are you worried about, if Biden is the nominee? What are you worried about weaknesses in his campaign? You may have seen the hashtag that's sort of been percolating up on social media, Biden's cognitive decline. Some of that's coming from Bernie Sanders supporters. How worried are you about that and where his weaknesses are in this race?
Well, it sounds like a bunch of that's coming from the Republican side of the digital house.
They're going to use it
fanned
too.
By
yeah.
some fanned by some foreign operators and picked up by some Democrats who are playing along. Listen, there is a caution flag on the track for Joe Biden that all Democrats, if he becomes a nominee, need to pay attention to. The young people who are excited about Bernie. You've got to look at Joe Biden a little bit like the incumbent in this race. And Bernie Sanders is a little bit like he's the insurgent candidate that's running against him, the Pat Buchanan running against George H.W. Bush way back when in the 1990s. Like, you've got to pay attention to that group of voters that Bernie Sanders is not doing well with. Hillary Clinton didn't pay enough attention to Bernie's voters, didn't find policy issues that they could really rally around. Bernie Sanders maybe didn't do enough to get them excited. And that spells part of the problem that she faced in the fall. That's the place where the primary campaign does tell you. It tells you where the establishment candidate or the winner's soft spots are. And that soft spots, those soft spots need to be tended to by that winner.
Matt, when it comes to soft spots, the economy is not looking as good as it did a few weeks ago right now. I mean, some parts of our economy are already in a recession. Others may follow very soon. The stock market has been on a roller coaster ride. And if you look at it over the last month or so, it's down. How worried are you about that when it comes to President Trump's reelection chances and Republicans in Congress as well?
Yeah, it's a reminder that making predictions about the future of American politics is really risky. I mean, I remember after the State of the Union, after the impeachment led to the acquittal, Trump was rising. I think he was even up to 49% job approval in Gallup, his all-time high. It's a reminder that there are a lot of variables, and we can't control all the variables. And obviously, the public wants reassurance. They want to see this virus contained. These industries need help, but also a lot of workers out there need help. And so, I do think the economy will be stronger in the fall once this is behind us. Presuming this is behind us when the summer comes around, but we're in for four, six, maybe eight really tough weeks here. And so, I hope the Republicans and Democrats on the Hill can come together and take additional steps, provide catastrophic pay for employees who've been directly affected, look at providing government funding for paid sick leave, which I think in the short term makes sense for people who are missing paychecks. We'll see whether a payroll tax cut is ultimately going to be part of this or not. Generally, Democrats like payroll tax cuts.
On that point, listen to this. This is President Trump speaking the other day, going after a Democrat, the governor of Washington State, Jay Inslee.
I told Mike not to be complimentary to the governor because that governor is a snake, okay? Inslee.
And I said the governor is a snake. Jamal, when you hear that and Matt's talking about things the president would need Democrats' help for to deal with the coronavirus crisis, do you see the two sides coming together?
I think people are starting to write Donald Trump out of the script here. Obviously, he has to sign a bill, so the White House needs to be tended to. But this is such a major issue that has to be dealt with. I think Republicans and Democrats are trying to figure out what the right thing is to do on the Hill, and then they'll convince the president to go along with it in whatever way they have to do it. I have to say one thing.
Yep.
There's been talk about an airline bailout. I think if there are any industry bailouts, someone wrote this on Twitter, and I 100% agree, they should not bail out the airlines until the airlines forgive fees for customers that have to change their personal travel habits. This is something we have to pay attention to, how human, real-life citizens are being affected by this crisis, not just the companies that are impacted.
Well, and I was on an airplane this morning, and there were 8 passengers on board. It was almost completely
lots
empty.
Of room to stretch out.
Yeah, that's right. Jamal Simmons, the Democrat, and Matt Mikowiak, the Republican, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.